commentary by Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
During the last week of August, a delegation of six American Jewish Committee leaders went on a fact-finding mission to Austria. It was the first Jewish group to visit Vienna since the turbulent and distressing presidential election of Dr. Kurt Waldheim. After consultation with leaders of the Austrian Jewish community, the AJC spent a week of intensive meetings with the chancellor, the foreign minister, leaders of both political parties, social scientists specializing in research on anti-Semitism, and educators engaged in anti-fascist education projects. We held four separate meetings with Austrian Jewish leaders, as well as a richly informative briefing with the American ambassador and his able staff. At the risk of distortion in trying to summarize such an emotional, complex experience in a phrase, I would have to say something like this. Austria has many and deep problems in facing up honestly to its long history of anti-Semitism and its involvement in the Nazi horrors. But there are signs of genuine hope, especially among its younger generation, many of whom we found are determined to face the past and to learn the right lessons from it. Perhaps the most hopeful sign of all is the decision of Austrian authorities to set up a joint working group with us to study in-depth anti-Semitism in Austria and to develop effective methods for combating that ancient evil. We welcome that cooperation and are pledged to make it work for the sake of Austrian Jewry as well as for the future of Austrian democracy in which all of us have a stake. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary, and the views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. Wins News Time, 12:59.
This is a WINS religion commentary for January 4th, 1970, entitled A Jewish View of the New Year's Day. Three, two, one. In an issue last week of a Yiddish newspaper published in New York, the Jewish Day Morning Journal, a correspondent inquired of a learned rabbinic columnist whether it is permissible for a religious Jew to celebrate the secular New Year's Day. The columnist answered that it is prohibited, and for these reasons. First, New Year's Day derives from the pagan traditions linked with the Roman idol Janus, and second, the ceremonies which have come to be associated with New Year's Day are marked by elaborate drunkenness and frequently by orgiastic behavior, which are not in keeping with the traditional moral and ethical spirit of Judaism. If one examines the origins of these New Year Day observances and the caricature of them that is developed in modern times, one can better understand the moral reservations of the rabbinic scholar, and indeed why the early church opposed many of these practices. In primitive and archaic cultures, as the historian Mercy Eliade has pointed out, the religious man had no conception of the continuity of time. He regarded time as a series of leases annually or periodically renewed by the gods. Time of the past year was profane time. It was destructive time because it wore out man, society, and the cosmos, and it had to be abolished through orgiastic rituals that signified a sort of the end of the world. On the last day of the year, primitive man symbolically participated in the annihilation of the world, and then set about to recreate it, thereby creating himself anew. But Judaism, in its struggle against these pagan conceptions, took the problem of time and history seriously. For Judaism, time is not a circle forever turning on itself. It has a beginning and will have an end. The blowing of the shofar, the ram's horn, that supreme Jewish answer to the pagan noisemaker, far from signifying regression into chaos, recall the giving of the covenant at Sinai, which meant the intervention of the divine presence in history, and therefore the possibility of history being sanctified. The blast of the shofar also signified looking forward to the future, when the last trumpet call will mark the messianic redemption of man. Whether these reflections make any difference to either Jew or Christian, recovering from hangovers and indigestion on the Sunday morning after New Year's Day is in itself worthy of philosophic reflection.
Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
20 years ago this week, some 4,000 Libyan Jews were forced to flee their Arab homeland, a country which their ancestors had lived in for more than 2,000 years. The cause for their flight in 1967 was the Six-Day War in the Middle East.
Because Israel had defeated the five Arab nations who tried to destroy the Jewish state, the Libyan government and other Arab nations made scapegoats of their Jewish populations and inflicted small Arab Jewish communities. Nearly a million Jewish refugees were brutally expelled from their ancient homes with all their assets and properties confiscated. Today, in a Midtown Manhattan hotel, the remnants of the once proud, creative, and pious Libyan Jewish community are meeting to evaluate what has happened to their scattered people. Thanks to the initiative and dedication of Raffaello Fella of Rome, leaders of some 100,000 Libyan Jews who now live in Israel, Italy, and the United States are taking steps to preserve the richness of their culture and religion through films, publishing a history of their people, and other means. They're also taking legal steps to try to recover their financial assets from Libya, which promised to do so some 15 years ago. This first international convention of Libyan Jews may yet help remind the world that there is a forgotten refugee problem in the Middle East, the 1 million Jewish refugees from Arab Muslim countries. This is Rabbi Mark Tannenbaum of the American Jewish Committee.
The preceding was a commentary. The views expressed are not necessarily the views of WINS. WINS News Time, 7:59.